Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Over this last month, we've been focusing on the theme of healing. Now, we believe miracles are normal. That's one of our values as a church. And we believe healing can happen any place, anywhere, in every service, at your house, in your prayer closet, in our life groups, anywhere. But this month, we wanted to take the time to actually just stand still and not just expect it, but make room for healings. And so JJ, over the last 2 weeks, Pastor JJ has taught on healing, and we've experienced God's miracles in the house in a tangible way. People were healed of backache and neck pain, shoulder pain, and headaches on that first service, and just so much more. And every week we've shared some testimonies. We got people up, we showed some videos of testimonies. And why do we do that? I just wanted to read this one scripture to you. Revelation 19:10. For it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. So when we share our testimonies of what God has done, there's a spirit of prophecy, and it's like he's hovering there to make it happen again, to do it again. When we share our testimonies, we give hope to people. And so this morning, we're going to have testimonies, but it's going to look a little bit different. I want to share with you my healing testimony as part of my message today. Now, I just want to say this from the start. I'm a detailed person. I own it. And let me say, so giving you broad strokes of a journey that is so close to my heart, it's like tying a footy fan's hands behind his back and tell him to cheer on his team in the grand final. I'm not sure if it's possible, but we're going to try it. But it is not it's not just about my story. It's actually about God's presence in my story. Now, when I think of my healing journey over the last 18 months, now every time the first thought that comes to mind is the incredible peace I felt and are still feeling throughout this journey. My heart is to share with you about walking in God's peace in the storm. And I trust and believe that it will touch someone's life here today, that it will bring hope, or even someone who would listen to the podcast afterwards. Now, I know peace is not the first thing, and it's not the normal reaction we have when we think of and when we are praying and believing for the miracle of healing. When we are faced with a crisis or challenging circumstance, we naturally, or maybe I'll just speak for myself, I think of how to solve it in the quickest, the most painful, and most affordable way. But there is a better place that we can start. It's always a good decision to start with turning to God. And just in our congregation, over the last year, all the different topics that we were covering, there was one thing, one focus every time, and that was we were pointing you to Jesus. And today, I want to do that again. I just want to point us to Jesus. Now, I want to invite you to read with me. But unfortunately, we don't have beautiful slides today because our graphic designer is suffering for Jesus in Bangkok. So, if you brought your Bible or if you have it on your phone, why don't you open it up with me to Romans? Apparently, it's really, really, really hot in Bangkok. So, I just said to Pastor JJ, have fun. I do not envy you. Okay, why don't you open your Bibles with me to Romans 15, verse 13. I'm reading out of the NIV. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul, in this scripture, is praying for the Gentile believers in Rome, and he's encouraging them in what he has been teaching them through this letter. In the previous chapters, Paul spoke about having hope and that Jesus is the object of their hope. And as they lean in and trust in God, who is hope, that their faith will produce joy and peace in their hearts and their minds. Now, joy and peace are two essential values in God's kingdom. When we read only a few, the chapter before in Romans 14, verse 17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Righteousness is our status before God. The peace is the horizontal harmony or the unity that we should outwork amongst each other. And then joy is the result when those blessings are present. These characteristics, fruits of the Spirit that we read of in Galatians, they are central to the kingdom of God and is how we please God and find approval for other believers. Paul is saying that it's not in their own strength and through their actions, but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that they will overflow with hope. These characteristics are only possible where the Holy Spirit is at work. But I want to stand still and have a closer look at peace today. What is peace? In the Bible, the Hebrew word for peace is rooted in the word shalom, and it means wholeness, completeness, soundness, health, safety, and prosperity. We read in John 14, 27, that peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. This is what Jesus is saying. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. God is the giver of peace. We do not earn it by works. He gives it to us by his grace and through Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. We receive peace, shalom, which is wholeness, completeness, health, soundness, as we focus on Jesus. Jesus, who paid the ultimate price, who laid down his life for us and died on the cross for our sins. Peace is a gift to those who believe in Jesus. And God's gift, God's peace is the gift that keeps on giving. It never stops. Peace is knowing and believing that even though everything doesn't look like we want it to look, God is still working it out for us in every situation. It's knowing that God is with us in the valley and that he is with us on the mountaintop. I believe that it's possible to have a peace so deep that we can contend in any circumstance, even in times of great challenge. Most of us know the scripture in the Bible where Jesus is in the boat with his disciples, Mark 4, verse 35 to 41, and he calms the storm. But what does it mean to have peace in the storm? When we allow God's peace to fill our hearts and our minds, it has the power to transform our lives. It means no matter what situation you are in and no matter what storm you are currently facing in your life, you can stand strong and know that Jesus is in there with you, just as he was in the boat with his disciples. So I want to share a part of my testimony in sections, so just bear with me. 18 months ago, I discovered a lump in my breast. Now, as it often happens, it wasn't the only crisis that we were dealing with in that moment. It was actually within the same week that we were facing another big challenge, most probably one of the top five challenges we've had in our lives so far. You know what my first thought was? Seriously, can we just deal with one thing at a time? I decided not to do anything about it or say anything to anyone because we were 3 weeks away of going on a long awaited, much sacrificed for family holiday, and I was not going to allow anything to jeopardize that trip. So I started praying and commanding the lump to dry up and disappear. And that's what I did for the next however many weeks that followed. It wasn't until about 10 weeks later that I eventually made an appointment to see the doctor. Who knows that the longer you delay, the harder it gets to have the courage to do it. I actually had to tell a friend and say to her, can you just keep me accountable? Because I'm afraid if there's no one that knows, then I might just stall longer. The first scans revealed that there were two lumps in my breast. I only felt one, but another one was much deeper down. It also showed that there were some irregularities and that they needed to do a biopsy and further investigation. The results of the biopsy showed that the lumps were malignant, multifocal invasive carcinomas. And because it was fueled by the hormones of my body, it needed to be dealt with sooner rather than later. I remember standing in the car park at work when the doctor broke the news to me over the phone. And she said to me, are you okay? Can I phone someone to come to you? And all I can think of to say to her was, you know that I'm a pastor, so I'll have to put my money where my mouth is. I believe in miracles and I'm believing that God will heal me. She must have thought this lady is a bit weird. But that's the only thing I can think of on that moment. That night, I said to God that I don't believe that this battle is mine. And I had a few reasons to believe that. The timing of it, the nature of it, it convinced me that it was meant to derail me or even take me out. So I asked him to fight this fight for me from the victory that he already has. And I remember asking him that if I must walk through this valley, then I choose to not camp in it, but to run or move as fast as I can. And that night I felt a peace in my heart like I have never experienced before. Things happened really fast thereafter. At first, I declined a referral to a breast specialist as we didn't have the available finances needed due to some changes in JJ's work circumstance 3 months earlier. We had private hospital cover, but that nothing else. However, we decided to first get all the facts and then make an informed decision. And the specialist that my doctor referred me to was actually the head breast specialist in the Gold Coast. He's such a man with a caring heart, and I really felt like that he was given to me out of God's hand. He made sure that I went for all the extra tests first before I went to see him because he wanted to help us and not burden us further with finances. He even organized that the PET scan be bulk built for me. God was so good from the start. He provided for every step. The next evening, we went to dinner with our really close friends, and this is a ritual we had every Friday night. They're very dear to us, and they generals in the faith, I think I can put them in that category. But when we walk into their home that night, they were in warfare mode. So they said, no pizza, no ice cream, till we take communion and we pray. So we took communion together, they anointed me and prayed for healing. The next morning, I discovered that the lump felt noticeably smaller. I was overjoyed and had even more faith for complete healing. These lumps might have been in my body, but they're not mine, and I was not going to partner with them. The end of that week, we attended the second revival conference here at Newmar, which was our first conference, Newmar Revival Conference. And I was prayed for numerous times. I had such a fresh encounter with God in a new way, but you know what? At the end of it, the lumps still remained. A week later, we sat in front of the specialist, and 2 hours after him discussing all the options and telling us in details what we were facing, he mentioned that his costs were minimal when it comes to life-altering surgeries as opposed to cosmetic surgeries. Once again, God's goodness overwhelmed us. That same day, we had calls from multiple friends who blessed us financially, and within 3 days, God provided the finances we needed for this scheduled operation. At this point, we thought, now that we have all the facts together, we decided it was time to bring our kids along the journey. Because we knew what process is required to it. But because my mum died of cancer only 18 months earlier, we decided that the C word is not going to be added to our vocabulary. We don't need added fear in their hearts, and especially not for Elizabeth. All experience she has with that word is death, and we were not going to go there. In the midst of the storm, we gave God our yes to join this incredible family at Newmar East. And in return, he gave us a family who loved us and rallied around us immediately. I had people phone me, and I received phone messages from people I haven't yet met, but they spoke to me as if I was their long-time friends. I experienced God's supernatural peace in the unknown like never before in my life, and I knew that the prayers of family, friends, and loved ones were carrying me. Like Moses, I knew that my arms were held up by the Aarons and the Hurs in my life. You know, in Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, we read, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." God brings peace into our lives through His presence. When we draw near to God and when we seek Him with our whole heart, we can experience His peace that transcends our circumstances. It is in the presence of God that we find refuge and relief from the chaos in this world. You know, peace produces hope. In Romans 15, Paul reiterates that as they are filled with joy and peace, it will cause them to overflow with more hope. Hope is the essential characteristic of Christian life, and for Paul, this was the central feature of his theology. Hope is the foundation for joy and peace. And Paul is saying, as they increase in their joy and their peace, it's going to produce even more hope. As sons and daughters, we need to live in hope. Why? Because the reality of our present circumstance often stands in direct contradiction to the promises that God gave us in Christ Jesus. The reality of our hope is based on 2 things. God's victory over evil in the death and resurrection of Jesus, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Our hope is grounded in what God has done in Christ for us. Paul is praying for a supernatural, Holy Spirit-powered hopefulness, not hopelessness, for their believers. Hope is experienced in the power of the Holy Spirit, and it moves toward the glory that is to be revealed in eternity. Hope includes trusting in God. Our hope is not defined by our present realities, but by God's purposes for a future with Him. Unfortunately, the process of my healing journey was not smooth sailing. The first operation I had was a lumpectomy, and unfortunately the results was not good enough and I had to have another operation. Once again, after that operation, they did not reach clear enough margins around the affected area. And I had to make the difficult decision to have a mastectomy in order to have the desired outcomes. This was something I was praying and believing would not be necessary. Sitting in the doctor's consulting rooms, my heart felt so heavy in that moment. And for the first time, tears flowed freely. Only a few days earlier, I celebrated my 50th birthday. This is my jubilee year. But I had to make life-changing decisions instead of celebrating with friends. But when God gives you peace, it remains. So I had the third operation in 5 weeks. Now, something that we noticed over this time was that every time JJ had to be here in Melbourne, we were back in the Gold Coast, for those of you that don't know, I had to go back to hospital. It almost felt like the enemy was doing everything he could to keep us or delay us from walking into the next chapter that God had for us. And we decided that we will not allow the enemy to delay or distract us any further once we've noticed that. So the first few times that I came and walked into this building and met so many of you, I was literally each time within the week of having an operation. Pastor Nameen, we love her. She was my self-appointed bodyguard, and she was my human shield. And she made sure that I was okay and that no one came too close, that no one could hurt me. It was only through God's grace that I could do that. And maybe the African blood that runs in my veins. You know, I had a sheer determination of an elephant bull, protecting the young and the hurt with all his power and his weight. I was determined to enter into this next step in our journey, our yes that we've given God, and I was not going to give in without having a red hot go at it. I'm so glad I don't weigh what an elephant weighs. Anyway, I remember saying to JJ one day that I need just a good cry, you know, because that's when you do what you do when you have loss in your life. But there were no tears, and as hard as I tried, the tears didn't come because I prayed for peace. Be careful what you pray for. But I was really thankful for that. You know, God's peace was such a sure foundation for me in every day. The process of healing didn't look like what I hoped for or expected, but God was still good. He is a good God. I made a decision to trust God in the process, and I've hoped that He is a good God and His plans for me are for a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11. My healing was outworked through the hands and the wisdom of doctors and medicine. Even though I thought the timing of my health journey was the worst it could be, it was in many aspects perfect. After 8 years of work, I had almost 300 hours of personal leave. Our South Africans, we are loyal to the core. We do not just take sickies to go to the beach, even if you do live in the Gold Coast. But I had a community of loved ones who surrounded me and supported me however I needed. Even when my husband was away in another state, almost 200 kilometers away. Even though we didn't have the available funds for the operation and the doctors, God provided almost in an instant. So God hears our prayers and He answers them. It just doesn't always look like we thought and we planned that it should look like. You know, I prayed and believed that God will heal me, but it didn't look like what I thought it would. The lumps shrink, but it didn't disappear. I believe and hoped to preserve my breast, but I lost it. But I still received my healing. It didn't spread to the lymph nodes that they removed. And I didn't need chemo or radiation therapy afterwards. You know, God wants to heal us. JJ taught on that over the last few weeks. And if you haven't went here, feel free to go and listen to those messages. God wants to heal everyone. Isaiah 53 verse 5 to 6 says, "But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him, and by His wounds we are healed." Yuli read that scripture this morning in 1 Peter, And I'm just going to read it again because it is so powerful. 1 Peter 2:24 in the Passion Translation. It says, "He himself carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Our instant healing flowed from his wounding." Because of the cross and Jesus' broken body, we are healed. It's for everyone. It's today and every day. It's not in the past. It is alive. Healing is a promise. And it's one of those 7,487 promises that JJ told us about. And it's promises that God made to us in his word. One of God's names in the Bible is Jehovah Rapha. We read it in Exodus 15:26. And it means to become known as the Lord who heals. Present tense, not past. God is still healing today. The Hebrew meaning of the word Rapha is to mend, to repair, or restore something to its initial design, complete wholeness. Jesus' mission was not just to save us through salvation, but also to heal us. It was a mission of complete wholeness. 2 days before I moved to Melbourne to join JJ and this amazing family, I had my fourth and final operation. And the next week, I stepped into my new role as accountant at Newmark Global and also as location pastor for this amazing family. I know the strength and the resilience I walked in during those last 18 months came from God. Like Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." The joy of the Lord is my strength. I chose it day on and day out when I didn't feel like it. His joy and his peace filled me as I trusted in the God of hope, and I overflowed with hope. I remember as I was taking off from the Gold Coast by myself because doctor said I can't fly, so JJ and Elizabeth had to drive the journey by themselves. I was grateful I got to fly. Anyway, it felt like there was a weight that was lifted off my shoulders. The closing of a door on a wilderness chapter and the excitement of stepping into a new, fresh promise that we received out of God's hand. So in July this year, I had my first checkup. And even though I still feel like I'm walking in a constant state of peace, you know, when the radiologist started the tests, the tears just started flowing. But it was tears caused by memories of losses, but it was also tears of gratefulness to be where I am today. It was almost a year to the day that I had my first operation. I got a clean bill of health, and I'm so thankful to God for his goodness in my life. I'm still hoping and having faith for complete restoration of my body, as there are still quite a few areas of numbness in my body, a medication that I have to take for another few years. But when I think of my healing journey, and when I see the scars on my body, I choose to be reminded of God's goodness. His goodness in the process, instead of the grief for what I have lost. I want to encourage you today to remember that God hears and he answers every prayer, even though it doesn't look like it or the timing is not what we wanted. Let's focus on God. And know that his plan is perfect. And in the end, he is going to use it all for his glory. Romans 8:28 says in the Passion Translation, "So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together for good, for we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his design purposes." We don't know why some people get healed and others don't. We don't know why when we prayed for people to be healed, they die. Like JJ shared last week, even my mum, I declared and professed for my brothers and my sisters that that was not going to take her out, but he did. But it's not our place to ask why. It is our place to just trust in God and have hope and have peace in the process. And you know what? When God starts to wove everything together, for me, earlier this year, a friend of a friend very unexpectedly was standing in the same place that I did a year before. And I had the privilege to support her and to walk through it with her, hundreds of kilometers, actually thousands of kilometers away, because she's right in the top of Queensland. God used my journey. He used what I walked through and he weaved it in to my purpose. I had the privilege of standing by her, answering her questions and praying for her and having faith when she felt like she couldn't have it. So this morning, I know that there are people here who are trusting God for healing and who believe that God is their healer. And that's all we need. We need to trust in God and we need to have faith to believe that His word is true. That as His word says, by His stripes we are healed. When we push in and when we ask, He will heal us. Every miracle that was recorded in the Bible was of people that either approached Him or called on Him. It was people who stepped out. I'm sure that in those crowds of people around Him, there were many, many people that maybe got healed that as just because of His presence. But He didn't go around and say, do you need healing? It was people that walked up to Him and were desperate and said, I need healing. Those were the people that He healed in the moment because He met their faith. And I know that if you hear and when we are sons and daughters, we believe that God is our healer. So this morning, I want to pray for a few different things. If you are in a storm right now and you need God's peace, I'd love to pray for you. If you are at a place and you just don't have hope anymore, I'd like to pray for you too. So if you fall in any of those categories at the moment, I'd like to invite you to stand with me so that we can pray together and join our faith and believe that God will do as He said in His word. We are going to pray for healing in the next bit, but if you need peace this morning, or if you need hope, then I invite you to stand with me. Thank you. And the rest of us, why don't we just start interceding in our hearts for everyone else? Today we are in your presence. This morning you were walking amongst us. You were enthroned on our praises. As we lift our voices up and as we worship you this morning. And I thank you, Father, for everyone, every man, every woman that is in this building today that needs your peace in their hearts. Lord, you are the giver of peace. You are the Prince of Peace. Your peace brings completeness and wholeness in our lives. And this morning I ask that you will come and you will give us your peace. Not our peace that can falter, but your peace that is steadfast and goes beyond all understanding. I ask that you will come and you will cloak us with your peace this morning, that you will put it like a mantle over our shoulders, and that it will penetrate every vessel of our being. And I thank you, Lord, that as we look to you, because you are the God of hope, that we will experience that peace in the storm that the disciples was talking about. That even though it is raging outside, in the inside, we are at peace because you are in control. I thank you, Lord, that you are the God of hope. We are not hopeless, but we have hope. Lord, I thank you for your joy and your peace that brings overflowing hope through the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that we only have to start saying the words, help me or give me hope. You are there in that moment. You fill us. You carry us. You guide us, Lord. This morning I pray and I ask that you will fill our hearts with hope for a future with you. Hope that you are in control. Hope that you are in the valley as you are on the mountaintop. Hope that we are not alone because you are right there, right next to us. We are sheltering under your wings, Lord God. You are holding us tight. So this morning I thank you, Lord, that your precious sons and daughters in this building will walk out of here with your hope and your peace like they have never felt before. And I pray, Lord, that you will continue to guide and lead them in their circumstance. I thank you, Lord God, that you bring transformation as we focus on you, as we focus on your peace and your joy and your hope. Lord, Holy Spirit, you bring transformation in our lives. And Lord, today I want to boldly say that we are excited to hear the testimonies of your goodness that is coming out of the lives of those that are standing today and are saying, I need help. God, be my help. In Jesus' name, we are looking forward to it and we are excited, Lord God, because you will be given the glory. You are our God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.